Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tappin', the Arkansas Paranormal Network, coming to you from Van Buren in Fort Smith. I am your host, Wayne Inman. My two co-hosts is, I can't tell which one's what, but DeGriz and Dave.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Welcome to the show. Hope everyone's having a good day, because we got a good one lined up for you.
Hello, Dave.
Hello. How's it going? First time. I'm a newbie right here. Not a newbie to radio, but a newbie to y'all. So, good to be here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, anyway, we're going to be talking to about ghosts and Bigfoots and things like that. So,
We already got a caller?
Yeah. Since you're switch over and see who that is. You know how to do that?
No, I still gotta the green button for screen, right?
Here, let me
I've
been doing it.
What in the world's going on here? What kind of production am I involved into here?
Well, we don't normally get a lot of callers.
Well, it's because I'm here today, probably. I don't know. Yeah, right.
We'll see what he's got going on. Usually he manages whenever we've had guests, callers. And
is he screening that right now? Is that what he's doing, Richard?
Yeah, I believe that's what he's doing, trying to find out
this
who
is awesome.
Kind of get an idea of what kind of question or whatever they've got. That way we're not just slammed into it. Here a while back we had a caller call in during a show we had with a guest from SIG Paranormal in Mississippi.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, answer it. So I just started clicking buttons. I wasn't sure that wound up being an interesting call.
I guess I should probably take a moment to introduce myself, right?
You can if you want to.
What do you think? You ready yet?
The caller on the line is Hugh.
Oh. Who's that?
Richard, remember Hugh?
Yep.
All right, that is him.
Okay.
We'll bring him in just a little bit. What was you saying, Dave?
Well, I was just going to say, I guess maybe I should introduce myself, since probably your listeners have no idea who this guy is and where he came from.
Big Dave, go right ahead.
Big Dave. Well, I've been an entertainer most of my life, but throughout my life, I've always had an interest in the paranormal. I had a paranormal investigation group back in Dallas-Fort Worth called Answers Paranormal. Shut it down about 10 years ago or so, and I'm getting back into it and am now part of the great team here and very excited about that. Glad to be back into this. I pretty much have, close to 20 years learning, gaining experience. So, yeah, and on top of that, I've been a radio DJ. I'm still a DJ here in the River Valley area on two different radio stations and was a radio DJ host in Dallas-Fort Worth. So that's pretty much me in a nutshell. That's a very, very short story, so we can move on.
We are glad to have you on our show. And as part of our group, they're going to bring us a lot of good things to the group and the radios. So,
oops.
What'd happen? What'd you spill?
Today's just not been a good day for me. It's been Butterfinger Central over here.
I fell in the toilet. I mean, you know.
Luckily, that hasn't happened yet. But if it does, I'll let you be the first one to know, Dave.
Walked outside, a bird pooped on me. I mean, just the whole thing going for you. Those days.
Lisa wouldn't have held moonlight.
Right.
No, that's only for you, Rod.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, buddy.
So tell me.
Apparently, you really enjoyed it because you're the one that keeps bringing it up.
No, not really.
Side story I know nothing about.
You will hear about it that well.
I want Rod to tell you the story about it. He loves telling that story.
We won't tell it on the air, put that one.
Okay. All right. One of those side stories, huh? Leave it to the listener's imagination. Okay.
Yeah.
So what is the subject matter today? What do we got going on?
Well, basically, we were going to be talking about just a little bit of everything, ghosts, Bigfoot, UFOs, whatever. And we had Hugh on the other line, and he will be talking about stuff, I think. Let's go ahead and bring him on and see what he has to say. And we want to welcome Hugh to the show. How are you doing, Hugh?
I'm doing terrific. I was just listening to, is it Dave that's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area?
Well, I used to be. Now I'm here in the River Valley. I'm a radio host out here, and now I'm a new member of the team here. So,
because right off the bat, I have synchronicities with Fort Worth. My
really?
Father's company is headquartered there. It's globally known in the food service field, and I'm the firstborn child of the founder. And then on a big website I can share, there's even a front page Wall Street Journal article I was written up in back in 1983, which triggered an investigation that eventually led to the resignation of Jim Wright from Speaker of the House in Shame, who was from Fort Worth, Texas.
Wow, that sounds like a very complicated story. That's for sure.
Well, it's a lot more than that. That's the tip of the iceberg.
Man,
bizarre life. If I can give three words to Google, it will bring you to a page on this big website, and you can see exactly what I just mentioned and a whole lot more. And I just want to say, too, that I am nonpartisan when it comes to politics. I look to help any president in office unite the people. I do share common background with former President Trump, where I was looking to help unite the people. Unfortunately, he has a big ego, so it never manifested, but that's his choice, not mine. It doesn't stop me from attempting to help the presidents, but they're not who we think they are. They're controlled by global elites. Those are the ones I'm really after.
Okay. Well,
so if you Google my last name, Trawlson, T like Tom, R-A-U-L, S like Sam, E like Edward, N like Nancy, the second word and, A-N-D, and the third word Trump, T-R-U-M-P. It will bring you to a page on a big website, rootingoutcorruption.weebly.com. You'll see my background and heritage, and even my mother, who was a supermodel, is a poster of her that's in the Library of Congress, where she posed for wave recruitment posted during the Second World War. She was my father's third of seven wives. He's a busy guy. I'm the first child my parents had, but my father's sixth wife, you'll see, married the commissioner for New York City, William J. Diamond. They were married in Gracie Mansion by Rudy Giuliani when he was mayor.
Man, sounds like you've had quite the interesting life.
Oh, yes. There's a page, New Thoughts and Possibilities, that has an archive radio show, Hugh Charleston, Synchro Mystic Encounters, and another page. I want to give this out related to, because there's synchronicities throughout the different pages, but this one really is a mind blower. The page that says Media Review, there's a couple of book jackets. The first one is The KGB, The Eyes of Russia, authored by a high-level CIA operative, Harry Rosicki. Underneath that is a radio show I called into to get confirmation on the synchronicities. But I had spoken with Harry Rosicki back in the 80s after reading his book. It was helping me to expose the guy I did in the Wall Street Journal article. And I lost track of him over the years. In 2008, something triggered me to see if he was still alive. And when I read his obituary, Four Synchronicities jumped right out at me. His name was Harry. My father's name was Harry. His wife's name was Barbara Helen. My mother-in-law's name was Helen. His daughter's name was Ann Elizabeth Hunt. My wife's name was Ann Elizabeth. My mother's maiden name was Hunt. So Four Synchronicities and an obituary is pretty bizarre, but then you intertwine that with high-level CIA, it's off the charts. I have a bunch like that. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, bear with us just a moment, Hugh.
Oh, okay.
We're having just a little bit of technical difficulties here.
Can you hear me now?
See, we're broadcasting from multiple locations, and...
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you now. But
okay, good.
The synchronicities don't want to synchronize for us today.
I guess that's still part of the Mercury retrograde. We're still in that.
Yeah.
I think we got that squared away. So, where in Dallas-Fort Worth were you from back in Fort Worth?
I never lived there. That's where my father's company is currently headquartered. I'm from New York originally.
Yeah, I was basically,
but I've been all over Texas. I was in the Air Force, and I went through basic training at Lackland in San Antonio, and then I was a survival instructor at Perrin Air Force Base at Lake Texarkana, Texas, and I've driven across Texas on Route 10.
Well traveled. So Wayne was saying something about you've experienced some paranormal activity of some sort.
Yes, I on that big website again in the show that you'll see on the page, New Thoughts and Possibilities, Hugh Charleston, Synchro Mystic Encounters. I actually was working at Union Carbide's world headquarters for about 10 years as a contract security officer, and I was there when they had the gas leak over in Bhopal, India. They were having bomb threats every 2 or 3 minutes, dumping 3,000 executives out of the building until we tightened up on security procedures. But I also experienced a UFO encounter coming into work. I used to work the shift 11 at night to 7 in the morning. That's the Hudson Valley sightings. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I personally am not familiar with that. What area was that again?
Yeah, it's pretty famous, the Hudson Valley, New York
once,
UFO sightings.
Right. Okay. I knew it was somewhere up north. I think I heard just a little bit about that. Tell me about it. Like, what did you experience when you were heading to work that day?
Well, I was coming into work, and right at the main gate, I experienced one of those triangular ships coming right over treetop level. It was about the size of a football field. I didn't hear any noise except for a little whir. I wasn't afraid. I just waved that as it went by about 5-10 miles an hour and went on into work, and I didn't come forward. They had a lot of people that met up at a local school that I did go to with my wife and children, with Phil Imbrogno was interviewing people with another person there, and I didn't want to come forward because I didn't want to jeopardize my job or anything. But there's a lot on there on YouTube. There's reenactments that are pretty accurate or actual footage too.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. Just a little information about me, as far as in the team goes. I'm probably one of the biggest skeptics, just about everything. However, I am also very open-minded. I do believe that there are things that are unexplained that happen and things that we cannot explain. If that makes any sense at all. I think that sounded right, didn't it? But I did have some questions about that. I mean, you said you mentioned it was a triangular shaped, and I've never experienced seeing a UFO. I've seen a couple things in the air that I thought, oh my gosh, that might be a UFO, and then all of a sudden I realized, oh, that's what it is. I am curious about it, though. When I talk to people who experience seeing a UFO in person, I like to know what the details of it and stuff like that, because it helps me picture more in my mind as to what these things are, so I can. I'm just curious, what could you explain it a little bit more in detail? A triangular shaped. I mean, because we have so many different kinds that people see.
Yeah, I'm going back quite a few years, so I can't really. I describe a little bit better in that radio show, but I'm not looking to prove anything. If I can't prove it, I'll leave you up to your own beliefs.
Right.
But when it comes to documents, if it's an official document that the courts would accept and you can't accept that, there's something wrong with your brain synapses. But I believe this was something that could have been also interdimensional. I have a feeling it was like a Palladian ship. And there are different ships that I've seen pictures of that would indicate that.
Now
some
did you believe
people
in UFOs
say
before you saw that?
Palladians?
No, did you believe in UFOs before you had your first sighting?
I, to some degree, I've been open-minded all my life. I may have had some sightings even. I do recall looking up in a summer camp up in Maine to something during the daytime up in the sky, which I think might have been a UFO. But when you really look over all the experiences on that website and people who I've interacted with, I tend to believe more in them, because there is a woman who I have featured on the Spirituality and Multidimension page. I don't know if you've ever heard of her, Victoria Uljenquist, who's out in Pagosa Springs, Colorado. Her father was a Secret Service agent. She's got quite a story, because she was saying her father was driving in the Nevada desert and picked up a hitchhiker. This was before she was born, who was dressed in biblical clothing, who was telling him all about who his daughter would be. She's like a global peace ambassador for the universe or whatever. And it's documentable where she actually predicted in 1968 a UFO flyover over the Salt Lake City Winter Olympic Games in 2002. And on the day and time frame she predicted, it happened. And she has a documentary movie that she made. Her website is victoriaslight.com. And she actually takes people out at night and through the resonance, and her voice is able to have UFOs come through the dimensions. So it's there's so many unexplained things. I just won't be pigeonholed, and I'm not going to be an authority, except, again, if I can document something and it's something the courts would accept, then take it or leave it. If you can't accept it, there's something wrong
with
it.
Yeah. Well, it's not that I don't believe you as a skeptic. It's that I just want to know more information about, what it looked like. Did it have a noise, or, how close was it? Just was there anything unusual about it that really sticks out in your mind?
Well, the only thing was I was trying to hear a sound or anything. I just heard like a little whir as it went by. So I don't know what the propulsion was, but to have something that big just sort of going 5-10 miles an hour by, it was just amazing. And I couldn't hang out long, because I had to get up to the building to go to work. So it was a very brief encounter. I don't have a tape of it, but I did call a psychic, and just to see what she felt, and she said that it was a real encounter with the UFO. Now, I did have another experience there that's quite paranormal. It's even a little more bizarre with what I feel was a big gargoyle crashing through glass ceiling of the building there one night. And I think that was something that came through the timelines and went back through the timeline. So there's portals that open and close, and that's what I think I was experiencing. That was quite something.
Hmm. Man, you sound
and
like
then
you had quite
on the page, Spirituality and Multidimensions, there is a website related to the church I was married in, smwa.org, that has miraculous photos. And this photo really spooks a lot of people. It shows a supposed picture of the face of the devil close up, which a lot of people get shook up. I say, well, it's more dimensions than what you're aware of. Everything you see isn't solid at all. If you put your hand under a very powerful microscope, you'll see it's not solid. Everything is energy. And I'm trying to dumb it down for people to understand their spirituality more. There's really only two types of energy, positive and negative. You have free will to go either way. And there is karma attached to both.
Give a lot
so
of,
I'm
yeah,
sorry
yeah.
I can't give more detail, but there is a lot of documentable things you can pull up when you go to the Hudson Valley sightings. And
well, you know, I really enjoy having an opportunity to speak with people like yourself because, you know, it gives me more of that push to be a little bit more open-minded than what I am at this point in my life. You'd think after 15 years, 20 years of doing paranormal investigations and learning everything I can about the paranormal, I would be more open-minded than I am. But I think it's just that part of me that and I've explained this to Wayne and Richard as well, I get just as much of a kick out of going into someone's place and finding out that it was just a pipe or it was something inside the wall scratching on it, you know, and being able to see their face light up knowing they could sleep tonight, as I do going in and finding something completely unexplained, leaving me scratching my head going, wow, what just happened? You know? So
right.
It's good to be able to talk to people like yourself and listen to that, because it obviously sounds like you're definitely open-minded to these things and experienced enough things in your life thus far that have made you even more open-minded and made it so that you have gone further in your investigations of knowledge to find out different things and different beliefs, and I respect that.
I appreciate that because it's not playable anymore, but I called into a blog talk show years ago where I spoke with the daughter of Hans Holzer, the founder of the paranormal. And
now you're talking my language. I know who he is for sure.
Yes, well, Alexandria is upstate New York, and I don't know if you can connect, because I don't do anything myself over the internet, so it's a big drawback for me in certain respects. But again, I'm not chasing anything. I'm looking to be like a way show or more, because when people really see all this stuff that I've been through, it opens their mind. And then when I can get them back to the basics, it's really just to stop the chaos and to understand we may not have all the answers, but are we supposed to be here to kill each other and fight with one another and argue and just be greedy and take everything we can? No, we're here for a reason. And
right.
Here's one I want to make sure I interject this, because this is fascinating to me, because I do have some synchronicities also with, and I did speak with her in an archived radio program, the great-granddaughter of former President Dwight D. Eisenhower. She actually channels him, Laura Magdalene Eisenhower. And there was a gentleman who claimed to be from the planet Venus, Valiant Thor. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he
sounds like a fantastic story.
Yes, there's a lot, and there's people that channel him to this day. Valiant, V-A-L-I-A-N-T, Thor, T-H-O-R. He supposedly lived in the Pentagon for a few years during the Eisenhower administration, and he was offering to the whole world ways that we wouldn't have these pandemics or anything, and they turned them down. But in one of the interviews, he was asked the question. This was fascinating to me. He was asked why he and his race of people didn't have fingerprints, and his response was that his race of people never walked away from God. Now, they don't live on the surface of the planet Venus. They live inside, so there you can go into the hollow earth, too.
Hey, Richard. What, is he still over there?
Yeah,
oh,
go
muted,
ahead.
Muted,
sorry.
Richard.
Sorry, I was looking at some information. The story about the Hudsonville sightings had intrigued me, so I was doing some looking and reading up on that.
Okay.
And plus, for lack of a better term, my assistant was in here, so I muted because I didn't want any of the crosstalk there coming through and interfering with Mr. Tolson's information he was sharing.
While he was talking, I was also kind of looking at some stuff here. Wayne just handed me a couple of things about the New York Hudson Valley, and they say it's one of the hottest spots for UFO sightings in the country. So it's like, is this an ongoing thing, I guess?
I also discussed in an interview, there's a town in the area called Dudleytown, Connecticut. That's a fascinating story, too.
Sorry, I'm reading here while you're talking.
Yeah.
So continue, my friend.
Yes, and on the getting back to the synchronicities again, too, on the page Spirituality and Multidimensions, you'll see that I have synchronicities with actress Sigourney Weaver. My mother used to act on Broadway with her mother, and her father was Pat Weaver, who started NBC Television in New York. I used to play with Sigourney Weaver as a kid a few times.
Really?
Yeah.
So
I have all these bizarre things because of the exposure that I had through both my parents. My mother used to run me around New York all the time, and she actually brought me over and had me shaking hands while we were filming a scene at the Plaza Hotel from North by Northwest. I'm shaking hands with Alfred Hitchcock because she knew I liked the show.
I see. So you actually shook hands with him?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't keep autographs, but I have a lot of celebrity stories like that. And a relative, I guess, was working at Madison Square Garden, so my mother used to get backstage passes. I actually met Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, and the Howdy Doody show, I met Buffalo Bob, and Clarabelle escorted me with a seltzer bottle, and I met Hopalong Cassidy in the town I grew up in, Bayside, New York. He was handing out little loaves of Bond bread, promoting Bond bread, but Bayside, New York is a whole other interesting thing, too. If you Wikipedia that was the first Hollywood before Hollywood, California. A lot of interesting stories there. Oh, that's what I wanted to say, too. I don't know if anybody travels, but I'd love to see on the page Spirituality and Multidimensions, I'm not far from the Hanover Tavern, which actually was owned by a relative of Patrick Henry, who said, give me liberty or give me death. And that supposedly has a lot of paranormal activity with it.
You know, while you're talking there, Hugh, I was sitting here reading some of the stuff. It says people there in the Hudson Valley have reported seeing giant triangles, discs, cylinders, and rectangular craft, as well as those people with missing time and uncomfortably close encounters. Find that that's absolutely fascinating that they're seeing all kinds of things, and it leads me to the question, why Hudson Valley of all places?
It's ley lines. There's different areas where there's
okay.
And that's been pinpointed all over the world too. Yeah,
so you think maybe that's like the GPS for UFOs, ley lines?
Well, that's what I think happened because of the it's a very active area, and that's why I say when I had that encounter with what I feel was a big gargoyle that was coming through the dimensions, I didn't engage in looking for it or whatever. I just stayed quiet and didn't report it, but nobody ever said anything. I was waiting to hear feedback, but it was, nobody said anything, so it went back to the dimensions. And that's why I think a lot of disappearances happen. People, they get caught up in one of these portals and they don't come back.
Well, that's something you got to watch out for them portals, man.
Right.
That sounds like something I would definitely, that would not be a cool thing. You got a lot of things going on in your life and all of a sudden find yourself sucked up by something.
Exactly.
Wayne just got through handing me something here about ley lines. So is this kind of like the definition, I guess you would say? A ley line is a straight fault line in the Earth's tectonic plates. These are big words here for me, folks, so bear with me. This is a scientific fact that what science, though, refuses to believe is that through these cracks in the Earth's tectonic plates, the magnetic energy released are very powerful indeed. So there's an energy thing there that could also go along with the theory of maybe they are like a GPS for UFOs. I mean, if energy can be seen or measured by something far, far away, it could be a point of light to go towards. You know,
right.
Your head in that.
You know, one thing that I have noticed through my years of research and everything, if you look at a bunch of areas where there are hot spots of UFO sightings or ancient unexplained structures, like Aztec figures that you see, you know, the Phoenix, the man, and all of that down in South America, they all lay in an arrangement with the ley lines in that area. You get over, or you get like up into the UK, you get Stonehenge, right. Roslyn Chapel, stuff like that. They all are oriented not only with like seasonal solstices and stuff like that, but they also are oriented with ley lines. Now, one place over in the UK that is very popular with the Trail of the Holy Grail is Roslyn Chapel. And the reason that Roslyn Chapel got its name is because it lays directly on top of the Rose Line, which, from what I understand, is supposed to be one of the major ley lines over in the UK.
All right, well, I'm about to take this show in a whole different direction here. You ready for this? I just got through reading something here on ley lines, and that made me think of something. The Native Indians of the United States, they used to call ley lines spirit lines, and their shamans used to use these electromagnetic energy in these lines to help them contact spirit. So here's what's going through my mind. Is it possible that, which I know that some people have expressed to me they believe, that these UFOs we see are actually not UFOs at all, but spirits in physical form? And could it be the electromagnetic energy of these ley lines that attracts them to them? Take that one and run.
Well, it could very well be. I mean,
just a theory. I mean, it's interesting to think about. I mean, we have so many things that are unexplained, but, you know, maybe if I shoot enough darts in the dark, I might actually hit something to find out after I'm dead that I was right.
Well, kind of going along with that, you know, there are millions of miles of, some people are going to shoot me down for this,
Oh, go for it.
There are millions of miles of artificial ley lines.
What in the world does that mean? Artificial.
Man-made. I mean,
they are, right? Oh, how's that happen?
Stop and think about all of these high-capacity, high-tension power lines that crisscross the globe.
I'm following.
Now, I used to do tree trimming for a gas and electric company in Oklahoma. And we would work around lines anywhere from what you see through your residential areas to high tension power lines that you get 40, 50 feet away from them, and the hair on your body, not just the hairs on your arms, the hair on the back of your neck or something like that, but every hair on your body is standing on end because of the static electricity, the static energy coming off of these lines. and see, as paranormal investigators, that's one of the things we look for when we go into a hot, what's supposed to be a hot house or location with a lot of activity in it. As we're pulling up, one of the first things I do is I start looking around. I look for highline wires, especially those high-power transmission lines, because those things, they carry in excess of 125 kV, and that's 125,000 volts. So you can just imagine the amount of energy being leaked from those lines.
Well, there's always been this so-called link between electromagnetic fields, static electricity, and people seeing spirits. Spirits being, and this is the big thing in the paranormal community. You always have that argument. Well, is it the electromagnetic energy that gives the spirits the ability to manifest and show themselves, or is it the electromagnetic energy that affects your old mind to see them? So because there is an effect that those energy fields have on the human brain and can play tricks on us. Or is it a little bit of both?
Well, see, that's like back when I first started getting into the paranormal, I had a friend called me up. He says, hey, my aunt's having some weird issues going on. And I was like, okay, what's up? Well, she claims she's seeing this, she's seeing that, she's hearing this, she's hearing that. She's experiencing all kinds of strange stuff. Well, when I went out to take a look and see if I could help figure out what was going on, one of the first things that I noticed, her house was sitting direct underneath some massive transmission lines. And I had checked into it later and found out that I think it was like 275 kV. Line going through, and no matter where you went on the property, you had this eerie tingling feeling all over your body. Eventually I got this overwhelming sense of being watched. It was almost like my emotions were on one heck of a roller coaster ride. And everything.
So the big question.
Once I left, I lost all the feeling. I mean, I could go a block down the road and I felt fine.
So the big question is,
do you think it was a direct effect from the electromagnetic energy, or was it supernatural, paranormal?
I personally believe it was a direct result from those transmission lines. Because, and I mentioned it to them, and my friend's aunt said that it was funny how I said that because she had noticed whenever she would go to work or go into town to do her shopping or whatever, she felt fine. But as soon as she would get back home, she started getting these weird feelings and everything. So about 6 months after I was in there, she decided to up and move. And she moved to an area where there were absolutely no big high-power transmission lines or anything around. The closest thing was the wires running across her back or running along the back of her backyard down the alley like you get in residential. And she said that, or I checked in with her about a year later, and she said she hadn't had any issues. She hadn't had those strange feelings. She hadn't seen or heard anything or nothing. So just for the heck of it, I got her to go back out to the house, because this first house they had bought and they were trying to sell it, but because of it being right there under those highline wires, nobody wanted it. So here, a year and a half later, they still actually owned the property. So we went back out there just for a visit, and as soon as we got, 100 yards from the driveway, she sat there, she says, look at this. And I looked at her arms, and every hair on her arm was standing up. And then I realized mine were standing up too. But there are a lot of cases where with the power lines and being close to the ley lines, if people are sensitive to that, it's going to affect them.
And I think that's the key word, sensitive. Sensitive
right.
to that. Some of us are not sensitive at all. Some of us are very sensitive.
Yeah, but on the other side of the coin, and I know you're thinking this.
Do you?
If
go ahead.
People can be so sensitive that they feel it, and it affects them in that way. Why can't something else use that energy and actually manifest? Or one thing I've often thought about is how much energy, when we see these crafts in the sky, how much energy are they actually pulling from the ley lines and or the high-tension transmission wires?
You know, that kind of makes me think about something somebody told me one time. They thought it was an astral projection. That's how they do light travel and speeds that are unnatural.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an interesting theory, I thought. I actually sat there and listened to him for a few minutes talk about that, and I was like, wow, that's an interesting way of looking at it. So they just basically they have drones that they send out through astral projection. Because, yeah, interesting. It's like, okay, so it's kind of like they're sitting back on their planet playing a video game of sorts. And he goes, yeah, kind of like that.
Right.
I thought that was an interesting idea, interesting thought. But the reason why I say that, in conjunction with what you just said, maybe that's how they're able to do that, is using those ley lines and the energy that's coming off of those.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people always say
that's a theory.
They don't hear anything or if they do hear something, it's just a low hum.
Mm. True.
Have you been in traffic next to one of these new Tesla cars?
Yeah, you don't hear nothing.
With the windows down in your car.
Yeah, you hear that. That's about it.
When they go to take off, it's just a...
Mm-hmm. Like a buzz.
Kind of sound. What says that they can't have propulsion systems that are like our cordless charging induction systems?
That makes
sense. They pull the energy from ley lines and from power lines.
That may even be... where we're going in our future. Who knows? I mean,
yeah.
We're only, it's been 100, all the technology that we've done within 100 years, can you imagine what's going to be like 8,000 years from now?
Well, you know, they're already working on stuff in some areas of the world where electric cars are not going to have to be plugged in.
Really?
They will have induction coils embedded in the road surface. And
like,
it's going to be just like taking your new cell phones and laying them on that little disc that charges them. Only thing, your car is going to be picking up the energy from those induction coils in the road surface, constantly recharging the battery.
Just don't go very much four-wheeling off-road. You should be all
right. Right. But, I mean, you know, it's like you and I were talking the other day about these advanced technologies in the past.
Which a lot of people think is because of the whole Roswell incident. That's what began it all, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, you just heard all these years. Yeah, that's where.
Right. But, I mean, you know, you and I were talking about these ancient civilizations that were supposedly super, super technologically advanced for the time, for the Earth's time frame that they were in. Okay. What's to say that someone somewhere else, like we've been talking, has already come up with and pretty much perfected what we are just now learning.
Oh yeah, I mean that's a sound theory. I mean, it just makes sense when you look at the last 100 years, how far we've come. And let's say there's a civilization that came around before us that God created. 3,000 years before us, it makes perfect sense that they would be that much further advanced than we would so that they could do that. I mean, we're already getting close to doing stuff that if you were to tell somebody in the 50s that we were going to be having this in the future, they'd just laugh you off the planet.
Right.
Find a way to put you in an insane house or something. So,
but to kind of get a little bit of a humor note in here, though, one thing that I've wondered about for quite a while, if they've already got the technology where they could do the stuff like the induction coils in the roads, that way you don't have to plug in or refuel your vehicle, if they've already got that kind of technology, how far back have they had to dumb it down to be able to interface with our technology?
Yeah, it's like they're going off road.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, man, that's like the dirt road way back up in the hills in Wyoming or something.
Okay, guys, we're heading to Earth. They ain't got that much, but we got.
Yeah, they ain't got nothing.
We got to grab what we can grab.
Stay away from them too, because they got that weird virus going around out there.
Oh, Lord. But you know,
I had me a hat that said UFOs are flying by, and then they're just stopping and going, nope, take it right back off. Not going to do it today.
But, I mean, you know, anybody that's got just a peanut's worth of curiosity can come up with some pretty interesting theories, okay?
Right.
But then it doesn't take much more to be able to check these theories out and get to the point to where it goes from being a theory to an okay. It's not theoretically possible. It is possible.
Yeah, I mean, perfect example, the little handheld things on Star Trek, what were those called? You know, they talk back and forth.
Oh, communicators,
yeah.
the transponders.
Yeah, I mean, the communicators, I mean, little flip things.
Beep, 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 beep.
You know, can you imagine what William Shatner would think if when he was making those shows, if he could see into the future and see a bunch of people walking around with flip phones talking to
right.
each other.
Right.
You know,
oh,
and now those are outdated, so...
Real quick, speaking of William Shatner, he just got a new honor bestowed upon him.
Good.
Yeah, he went to
space. He has officially become the oldest human to fly in space.
He actually got to go in space.
When did he go?
Well, what, a couple days ago?
Yeah, it's been here within the last week or two.
Let me guess, it was SpaceX, right?
Uh-huh.
I believe so.
Well, you know, SpaceX just got through doing that documentary, I believe it was on Netflix, right? Am I correct on that?
Yeah.
Where they had the four non-astronaut citizens go up in space.
William Shatner was one of them.
Yeah. No, he wasn't one of them. Because I watched that whole documentary. He wasn't one that went into space.
No, well, just went up there. He just went up a couple of days ago.
Okay. How awesome is that? That is so cool.
Captain Kirk on the Star Trek actually got to go to space because he's never been there.
Well, hopefully they will do a documentary on that because I will be on it. I will be watching that for sure.
Man, I don't want to watch it. I would love to be on it. I mean,
man, I don't know. You're a pretty big dude, just like me. I don't know if I want to be floating around up there in space with somebody like me or you.
Have you seen William Shatner lately?
Yeah, he
Mr. Shatner, no hard feelings, no offense, Matt.
Yeah, he has kind of swollen up a little bit there.
you're about two times the size of Captain James Tiberius Kirk.
Yeah.
I love you, though, William. In case you happen to be listening in, I love you, Mr. Shatner.
Yes, sir. I do, too. Live long and prosper. Most definitely.
I mean, growing up watching Star Trek, I've always been envious. I would love to be able to go and say, I've been in space. And watching that show, watching them going to the different galaxies, different planets, and everything, I was always jealous because I wanted to do that.
Yeah, it's something that I binge watch. My wife's not a big Star Trek or Star Wars fan or any space kind of fan at all. And we've had this talk before. I said, honey, when I'm dead, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm just going to hop out in space and just travel around for a few hundred years.
Right.
You know, land on a few planets, you know. And she's like, and I said, you know, I'd love for you to come with me. And she's like, nah, I'll just hang around the mansion up in heaven or something. What's going to be your
thing? I tell you what. If you kick the bucket before I do, you can go zip around But once I kick the bucket, I want you to meet up with me and take me to the hot spots.
All right. That'll work.
If I kick the bucket first, I'll zip around and I'll keep an eye out for you. When you kick the bucket, I'll take you and show you the hot spots.
I'd love that. That'd be very cool. That'd be very cool.
I mean, who knows? If you believe in reincarnation, who knows? We might find a place better or that we like more better than Earth.
You know, a lot of people do believe in reincarnation, and like I said, I respect everybody's beliefs and theories and ideas. My belief on that, just quite simply, is, you know, one time around is enough for me. I'd rather move on. You know, find something else. It was cool for a little while. I'm down. You know.
Well, that's what I said. You know, if you believe in reincarnation and you find someplace other than Earth that you like, if we have a choice, hey, send me over there to, that planet with all the good-looking chicks. You know, no. Hey, that over there looks like a fisherman's paradise. That's where I want to go.
I don't know. If there wasn't any money or monetary stuff involved, I might be interested. If there wasn't a lot of crazies walking around that planet, I might be interested. There'd have to be a lot of things that would have to go right.
AKA Earth.
Exactly. I don't know what I was thinking if I did this before I decided to come here. I made a big mistake.
I'm right there with you, brother.
I must have been drunk in heaven or something. I don't know.
We had too much ambrosia.
Something like that. I don't know. I've always been interested in space and space travel, and I just find it very fascinating. That's the reason why I've been open-minded most of my life about the UFO thing. And I've told you this, I think, yesterday, the day before. What my beliefs and my theories is on this is, you know, we here on this Earth, depending on what part of the world you're living in, some people are way conservative and believe that if we did find UFOs and they exist for real, that we would have some mass, huge people just freaking out and everything else like that because it means God doesn't exist. And I think that's just completely the opposite. I mean, I think we're becoming educated enough, I would hope, that we're becoming educated enough to realize that that in itself, if you know anything about God's character, if you are a believer in God, you would know that his character is to create and to love what he creates. And if we are so conceited as to think that we are the only living things that God's ever created in his entire millennia, his eternal, in his eternal being, I think it's pretty conceited. I think he's probably made 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 or 6,000 different planets and stuff like that before we even came along, before we were even an idea in his head. Just my theory, you know?
Right. Real quick, in case Wayne doesn't catch that, he's checking it now. I didn't know if you guys could hear the echo or not.
Yeah, I hear. Who's echoing? Is it me or you?
You're echoing pretty bad.
I wonder why.
I don't know. It just started. You've been good the whole time, but then here just the last couple of minutes, you started echoing real bad. But it's just par for the course with the show. I mean, there have been several times that Wayne hasn't even, or he can fire it up. He
can
take care of everything. He can hear, but he can't talk.
Hey, put me on mute a second, and then put me back on and see if they get through it.
Okay, hey, I've got him muted on my end.
Yeah, I got
him
muted.
Let's try it again. Okay, I just unmuted him. Are you there, Dave?
Now? Yeah, still there? Is the echo still there?
Just a little bit, but not as bad as it was.
Is it any better like that?
Oh, yeah. It's gone.
It's gone? Fascinating. Well, I'm wondering what you call this.
Now it's back.
Oh, really?
Am I still on with you?
Oh, yes. You're still there, Hugh.
Yeah, I just wanted to interject real quick. I have an expert in Texas
who is an expert in ley lines and stuff. I just wanted to give you his name. Maybe he'd be a good guest.
All right.
I don't know if you're familiar with Bruce Cornett, C-O-R-N-E-T, of El Paso, Texas, and you can pick him up on LinkedIn, and he covered the whole area that we were just discussing before, and I think he even, I spoke with him, I got him to come on to another blog talk show as a guest a while back, but he even lived in the area where I am. I think Ashland, Virginia has a lot of ley line activity portals too.
Did you write that down?
I've got it.
Okay. Yeah, we were starting out talking about those ley lines. I was actually looking at maps those here a little while ago. Now, because I was, one of my thoughts went through my head about, am I still echoing really bad?
Not too bad.
A little bit.
Okay. I don't know. I got these headphones called Turtle Beach. What are they called?
Yeah, Turtle Beach.
Anyway. So anyway, looking at this map, and I was worried that maybe there was a ley line like every 10 feet somewhere on the planet, but I was thinking maybe that's the reason why. But there's actually, the map that I saw, there's actually not very many ley lines. I mean, they're pretty spread apart is what I'm trying to say. According to this map, I'm looking at.
Anyway. I'm looking at one here. Just for the heck of it, I looked up ley lines near me. And we are right on the, or just outside of an area here in Arkansas known as the Crystal Vortex.
Boy, that sounds cool, doesn't it? What a great name. I live in the Crystal Vortex. I like that. I mean, it just sounds like something you would tell an alien friend of yours. Where do you live? Oh, the Crystal Vortex. Oh, I know that place. Well, that place sucks. What are you doing out there? Yeah.
But I'm just looking here at different maps. I've got one here that is showing Fort Smith as a major intersection for ley lines.
What a specific area here in Fort Smith in general? Could you like pinpoint maybe a someplace you know in Fort Smith that would be directly on it?
Well, it doesn't go in that far.
Okay.
It's just a general overview. I'm still looking, trying to see if I can find something else.
I mean, the reason why I'm asking that question, what I'm getting to, is if you could pinpoint that down to where that ley line is in a certain area that you live in, whether it be here or anywhere, it'd be interesting to find out the history and whether or not the history on a location, whether or not that location has any paranormal activity. See if it's
important. Unfortunately, a lot of what I'm finding is stuff on Pinterest, and I don't use Pinterest well or often enough to be able to get to the sites that they're showing stuff from. But I'm looking, see if I can find something a little better.
Nice.
With a little more detail.
It is an interesting fact. It is an interesting idea, though, that the ley lines have something to do with paranormal activity and even UFO activity as well. It's something I've really not explored a whole lot, but I can see how the theory could be sound in some way.
Mm-hmm.
If you're able to come up with corroborating evidence to the theory, maybe it'd be something to focus in on and look more closely at. Because, you know, as investigators, we are all very, not just curious, but we're also very serious about investigating it thoroughly, because really what it all comes down to, the joy, I think, of investigating for people like myself is getting more answers about what happens beyond this earth, beyond this life of the flesh, so to speak. So any way we can find definitive answers is something that we get closer to having that faith that we want to have or need to have for our own personal self.
I'm looking here at the website arkansascuriosities.wordpress.com.
Okay.
And June 23rd of 2015, somebody had made a post. It says, okay, I've been trying to research this for a while. Since moving to Arkansas in October of 2010, I have noted and witnessed many anomalies of a paranormal nature. I have always been a sensitive, but since coming here, it has increased tenfold. I have managed to increase my abilities as a medium/sensitive. I still, however, have some distance to go. I've been doing a lot of research in the past few years. Information is difficult to come by. More specifically, I've been attempting to find accurate ley line maps concerning Arkansas. I have no idea why this is so difficult to find. Google is not of much help. I can attest to that. But I find this state to be very mystical. I would have figured many others would have picked up on it. If I have lived and been to many locations around this country, or no, it says I have lived and been to many locations around this country and in a few places overseas. The only place to come close to Arkansas is Ohio, but that is a very distant second. I'm sure there are many denizens of Arkansas that do feel the state is quite mystical. I have spoken to a few about this, but I was somehow moved to create this post and do some research from an individual named Lee. He had a similar situation in the same location, which piqued my curiosity enough to write this, as I find it quite curious. I will address this synchronicity in a bit. I have also spoken at length with another individual named Cody, who has also been perceptive to such things. First, if you are not aware of what ley lines are, here's the definition from Google. Ley lines are supposed alignments of numerous places of geographical and historical interest, such as ancient monuments and megaliths, natural ridge tops, and water fords. How many of you probably don't, or now many of you probably don't believe in such things? The paranormal, supernatural, are divisive subjects. Personally, I obviously believe that these alignments not only exist, but are extremely strong in Arkansas. Why would that be? The great deal of crystals and minerals that naturally exist here. I feel that this magnifies the already strong alignments and creates portals. First off, here is a U.S. ley line map I found. And they've got a map.
Is everything a lot closer?
Let me see if I can zoom in on it. It won't let me zoom in on it. And
won't let you zoom in on it?
No, you can't really. See, I do see it's got One looks like it's running from just off the East Coast, coming through Tennessee, through Arkansas, and comes. I want to say it's showing that it's going just south of Fort Smith, but on this map it's hard to tell. But it goes through from to out around Oklahoma City and then on into New Mexico.
Well, we know how active New Mexico is, that's for sure.
How accurate this map is, again, I'm just not sure. Here is one of Arkansas. Again, how accurate this is, I'm not sure. Also, the fact that there are several conflicting Arkansas maps makes me wonder. And this one...
Do they not have a laid-out actual map? I mean, is there actually problems that they have with these so-called ley lines being inaccurate on maps?
Apparently so.
Well, that's a little scary. I mean, that leads somebody who's a skeptic to believe, what if there aren't ley lines at all and we're just making all this stuff up?
Well, you know, that's the thing about it. There's probably no real way to definitively say this is where it is.
Because there's no actual physical evidence,
right,
except for the energy that's being
right
created
now,
by
this map I'm looking at here of the state of Arkansas shows 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ley lines that are bisecting the state. One is up in the extreme northwest corner of the state. Up, it just passes from up into Missouri, down just through the extreme corner around Bentonville into Oklahoma. Now, there's another one that comes in. God, I wish I could zoom this in. But it comes at a shallower angle across the top of the state, comes in just south of Alton, Missouri, past Mountain Home, through Harrison, through Fayetteville, into Oklahoma. There's a next one. It's on like a northwest to southeast line. And it's running from just north of Wabasha, Arkansas, to north of Stuttgart, north of Little Rock, up through Russellville, up along Interstate 40, and then it cuts up north of Fort Smith and Van Buren, up through Evansville. Now, I can't tell exactly where in Oklahoma this is happening because it's cut off right there, but those first three lines actually intersect right here, or just across the Arkansas-Oklahoma line into Oklahoma. And then there's two more that are going on a more of a north-south pattern.
Well, maybe somebody will at some point or another take the time, if they have it, to do some research on ley lines in correlation with paranormal activity, to kind of start putting the dots together, you know, to see.
I just found something that's pretty interesting while you were talking. If you Google Edgar Cayce and ley lines.
Okay.
Are you Googling it?
No, I'll let one of y'all check on that. I'm really intrigued about this location in Oklahoma where those three are.
Yeah, it's just out of the
intersection
map that I see. You're talking about right here. Like if you go just almost southwest of Fayetteville, past the Oklahoma border. They kind of all intersect right there.
Yeah, there's like three of them right there.
Like
just in,
yeah, looks like there's a
I'd
city.
I'd say no more than 20, 30 miles into Oklahoma right there.
Yeah. It's like directly south.
Mm-hmm.
South and west of Fayetteville. Right past the border. I don't have the full name of that town. Do you have it? Is that showing up on that map? The name of that little town that's right there where that looks like. Anyway, the point being, if somebody is now joining us, we're just trying. That would be an interesting town if I can get the name of that town. That'd be an interesting town to look up some information on, find out if there's a lot of paranormal activity in that town, or UFO activity, for that matter.
Okay.
Kind of weird activity.
Tell you what I'm going to do. I know where it is.
Okay. What's the name of that town?
Stillwell, Oklahoma.
Stillwell. Okay. See, I just see the last three letters.
But
on my
it's right there near Stillwell, Oklahoma. Because if you look, it looks like Z-E-L-L.
Yeah.
On that map.
Yeah.
And I just pulled up Google Maps. And that would be Stillwell, Oklahoma.
It's not too small of a town. I've been through Stillwell. I mean, for a town size, I mean, it's a pretty good size for an Oklahoma town. It's not no Oklahoma City or Tulsa, but it's not a tiny little town like Muldrow or Spiro.
No.
Yeah, maybe I'll look at that later. Maybe I'll get on Google and kind of for the heck of it, Google paranormal activity still up on. Let's see what comes up. See if it Google explodes there on me. But story after story or something. Or if mysteriously nothing.
Right.
Either way, it's an answer.
But it's like that intersection is like right there. Maybe not in Stillwell, but pretty daggum close to it. But I had seen something else while I was looking that had caught my... Here. Elfam gates not set in areas of great natural power must be where three ley lines of three different colors cross. Well, I can't tell you if they've got those as three different colors, but there's at least three ley lines that cross right there.
I'm looking at something. You haven't talked much today, Wayne.
Always doing research.
Okay. I think you're still on mute here because I didn't hear that.
Oh, come on.
I don't know how we got on this, but here we go. Now, you can just, all the investigators in this, here we are. Now we're just all staring at our screen. Trying to find, you know, for the average listener, like, what the heck is going on over there? What are they doing? It doesn't matter. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like you get a song in your head and you can't get it out. Well, that's what's happening to us right now. Now we've just got to find the answers. Driving us nuts. Anyway.
So. And see, that's what I like about now that we can do a two-hour show. We can, or we get something interesting, we can look it up real quick and give more information on it instead of getting into something, and then all of a sudden, oh, your time is up. And it's like, well, dang.
I don't see a lot, honestly, on Stillwell. Nothing that really just kind of pops out. Believe it or not, when I do the search, it starts bringing me stuff closer to me.
Right.
Like Chester and Tahlequah.
Well, you know, one thing that does, that I've got to say in that, a little bit of that article that I read that does have to make a lot of sense to me is talking about the crystals and stuff in Arkansas. You know, we do have a lot of that. We've got all kinds of crystal mines. Heck, we are the only state where you can go and walk out into a field and find a diamond, or possibly find a diamond. You know, and we've got Hot Springs National Park, which is a geological hotspot. They don't, or a lot of people don't want to say it, but it's an area capable of volcanic activity. And then in the northeastern part of the state, we've got part of the New Madrid Fault there. And not to mention all of the fault lines that are in southeast Oklahoma, right there neighboring us. So, I mean, it's no surprise that Arkansas could be such a wild hotspot for paranormal, supernatural, as they put in here, mystical events.
Well, I mean, I've done my Google search over here for Stillwell, and I'm not really catching anything. Maybe anybody who might be listening can do a Google search. Feel free to, you know, give us a call, chime in. By the way, what is that number to call?
516-666-8428. And sorry,
give that
Wayne,
number again.
We can't hear you.
Yeah, for some reason your mic is not on.
Yeah, I'm hearing him in the background through you, Dave. Okay. But once again, the number
there
to call in is area code 516-666-8428.
Where did we get that number with those three sixes in it?
I have no earthly idea.
Yeah,
I'm out
given.
Here.
Matter of fact, don't anybody call that number.
Oh, come on, Dave. Your first day on the show, and you're already trying to kill it.
It was when I got the show, that's what they gave me. So.
Man. Okay.
Just too bad it didn't have four more sixes.
So I guess I need to kind of, yeah. 516-666-8428. Yeah,
we hear you. Funny thing about it, Dave, my first time on the show, I asked Rod why he used or why he picked that number. He said, man, I didn't do it. He said, it just automatically gave it to me. And I'm like, well, I can't do this. I'm gone.
just what are the chances paranormal investigators doing a show and part of their phone number is 666? I mean,
the crazy thing about it, I've actually had a couple of my friends that I've tried to get to call in and tell us about some experiences they've had. Okay, what's the number? And I'll give them the number, and they're like, nope, not doing it.
Yeah, I'll
because of that.
Some people are real, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, folks, that wasn't the number I was given. I mean, so I wasn't one of them I picked out. So I picked it out. I had all sixes.
So what we should do is figure out, you know, on one of those old dial numbers, one of those old dial phones, what 8428 could spell out. You know, like maybe it'd be 666 love or something like that. Be easier for our listeners to call in. That would really be bad though if it was something like that. But 8428. Y'all go ahead and talk. I'm actually going to research that. Believe it or not, how stupid is that? I know, but now my head's on it.
Hey, you're too slow. I'm already there. Okay. Whatever it is would have to start with a T, a U, or a V.
It could be 666, but.
How about 666, that?
That.
THAT.
It could be. It could be.
Oh, thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
I just got a surprise. The better half has been in looking around, digging through stuff, and she just found a couple of patches that I had lost.
For your eye? Or what?
And she found me my Bigfoot country patch. And then one of my brother's old Van Buren police shoulder patches.
What are you going to put them on?
I don't know. I've got
his
911 dispatcher patch on one of my vests.
This is so weird. I am having deja vu.
Uh-oh.
And what's fascinating is I'm having deja vu on a paranormal show. Does that mean that because I'm having deja vu on a paranormal show, we should for a moment talk about deja vu and what that really is and why it happens?
Sure, why not? Go ahead.
It is, in fact, paranormal, right? I've never been in this room before, have I?
Nope.
No.
Never been in front of this computer before, never been in this lighting. Oh.
If y'all will excuse me for just a moment, I've got to step away for just a moment. Be right back.
Okay. I've never heard Richard tell that story. So what is the deja vu about? What is that? Why do we have that? Feel free to call in at 516-666-8428. Let us know why you think, what your theory is on why we have deja vu.
Well, maybe Hugh has an idea.
Well, it's probably just to awaken you more to other possibilities.
Like?
Synchronicities.
Say what?
Synchronicities.
Synchronicities. Now, just for anybody who may not know what that big word is, okay, myself, could you give me a definition of synchronicities?
It's a meaningful coincidence that it's too hard to explain.
You just explained it. That's a very good way of putting it. Meaningful
right. Coincidences.
It's a really good way of putting it. Synchronicities. But, what do you mean by just kind of opening up us to maybe the possibility that we are able to see things subconsciously that are going to happen before they happen?
Well, we have very powerful auras, and we're very powerful spiritually. That's what people aren't aware of, too. And what was being said before, we're conditioned. We all have networks. We're born into a network. That's our family, and we're conditioned from birth into belief systems that. Are really controlling us a lot. So I say that as far as life goes, what I've been able to determine is four big areas that are really controlling us tremendously. It's big business, big government, mainstream media, education, religion too. And so when you have your basics as far as education, knowing how to read and do math and what have you, then you should be able to, through books and with, I say the internet is actually mankind's avatar for the future. It's like the Wild West right now with all the chaos, but it can be tamed down. I think that's beginning to happen with blockchain. I'm not too keen on the bitcoins because I still want to have some cash on hand to buy my can of beans instead of somebody shutting me down because they don't like me. But
that is a scary thought.
Yeah, but with experts that have been pre-qualified with the information determined as factual, I say that you'll be able to self-educate by just going into any area of interest with these experts and become an expert yourself in whatever you like.
Well, I know I've had several experiences in my life where I have this deja vu, and occasionally I can think back to a dream that I may have had and remember that it wasn't a dream that I saw this. But there are other times where, like today, I didn't have no dream like this. I'm almost certain of it. Maybe I did and don't know and didn't know it until now. But a lot of people believe that it's from your dreams. And some dreams you remember and some dreams you don't, as we all know. Maybe it's your subconscious telling you where you're going to be soon, and I don't know.
I've had these deja vu dreams. Sometimes they happen like 3 or 4 months ahead. You know, 3 or 4 months later, I have this dream, and then 2 months later, it's just like I've been here before. You know, that's one of those things.
What's crazy is when you have a dream and then it's like 10, 15 years later that it happens.
Yeah. And how is it that you remember that, that your mind holds on to that? And why does your mind hold on to that? For that length of time for you to stop for a moment and go, wait a minute, I've been here, or this has happened.
I know, right?
You know, why did your brain decide to hold on to that tidbit of information that was so minute and small, like in some back cabinet somewhere that, I mean, is it meaningful? Should we pay attention when we have those moments?
Right.
Like, does this mean?
It does that, but then again, you can't remember what you had to eat last night.
True. I can't remember where I put my keys a few minutes ago. Matter of fact, I really don't know where I put my keys. Oh, they're over there. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. You're absolutely right on that. But yet, for some reason, it happens.
Yep.
My wife has these things too, and I mean everybody I know really has them, but we don't talk about it a lot. But it is a very big, it is a very real paranormal experience that most everybody has had.
Well,
right,
Wayne, how many times have we gone on an investigation and then right in the middle of me and you, either in doing our thing or doing a walkthrough, I stop and I sit there and look around and you're like, "What's wrong?" And I look at you and my exact words are, I've been here before.
Now, see, that would be a little disturbing to me in a paranormal investigation because we all have that subconscious thought that these things are supposed to mean something. And what does that mean? Does that mean I'm about to experience something really great or something very dangerous? Or is it just not?
Right. Well, see, last year, him, Keith, and I went out to Ruby Lake here in Arkansas. As I'll let Rod tell you more about it later on, but I've never been to that place, never been there before in my life, didn't even know it existed.
Me neither.
Wayne and the property owner are go one way around this little man-made large pond, small lake, tonight go around the other way. I'm sitting there and I stopped and I'm looking around. Keith looks at me and he says, "You hearing something? You smelling something? What's going on?" And I'm standing there, the hairs on my arms are standing up, and I looked at him and said, "I've been here before." He said, "You have?" I said, "Yeah." I looked down at my feet, and I remembered seeing my feet in that exact position, wearing those exact shoes, exact pants. And then I remember looking up and seeing Keith standing there. So I said, "Yeah." I said, "We have been here before." I said, "I have been in this exact position, and you have been in that exact position for me before, but this is the first time I've ever been here.
Now, just out of curiosity, for anybody who's either on the show here, you, Wayne, Richard, have any of you experienced a deja vu and realized that it was something that was important and meaningful? And if there's any listeners out there that would like to chime in who have experienced that and it was something necessarily important, you can give us a call at 516-666-8428. So what do you think, guys? Anyone, if you had that experience? Where?
Can I share a timeline synchronicity? I think it's pretty interesting because I'm fascinated by my own life to look back. I keep pulling up this stuff from the internet. But years ago when I was in the Air Force on active duty, I was flight certified to go up in a military jet. And during the summer when they trained the ROTC on the T-33 fighter jets, when they had extra fuel, it would give us a ride. I got a ride in that T-33 fighter jet, and the pilot did a nosedive on a yacht and then pulled back up and kicked in the afterburners, which makes a loud boom. And he said, "I hope Frank doesn't have a hangover today." It was Frank Sinatra on the yacht with Mia Farrow. And I didn't put too much weight on that. All these years later, I was looking back over that, and there are pictures that you can actually see the yacht off the Martha's Vineyard and people that were on it. Now, my father had a couple of homes in Acapulco. I went down when I was first married with a vacation on a vacation with my wife, and we went to a party that was hosted by an actress by the name of Merle Oberon. And I just found out a few years ago she was listed as one of the people on the yacht. And here I had met her and never knew any of this until after she's passed and all these years later, that and checking back on that information about Frank Sinatra and Mia Farrow and seeing her name as one of the passengers is mind-blowing to me.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, you look, I've had a lot of things like that happen throughout my life as well, where, you know, it's amazing how big the world seems to each one of us, but some things happen from time to time that make you realize how small the world really is, which is pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty cool. You know, we haven't talked much about ghosts today, about spirits, entities. Thoughts on that? You know,
well, Dave, welcome to the Arkansas Paranormal Network.
I've been kind of talking on basically a lot of things that I'm still learning a lot about. I know that some of them, like UFOs, I know quite a bit about. I wouldn't call myself an expert by no means.
He's not a Bigfoot fan.
Bigfoot is, what do they call it? They call them cryptids, right? There are several different kinds, and you got Bigfoot, you got the Mothman, you got the Wolf Boy, you've got several of them that
Chessie,
I've heard about, read about, watched movies about.
You got Chessie, the Lake Champlain Monster. Of course, we all know about Nessie. There's the Ohio Grassman.
We could go on and on. That could be a whole. We could just go through an entire 2 hours of coming up with names people are making up for these different things.
Oh, dude, you know, we could do a complete series on them.
Right, and that'd be just like, oh, no. Because, you know, so many of them are just so ridiculous that it's, from a skeptic's point of view, it's really, really hard for me to really grasp my mind around it. Whereas other cryptids that I've either watched documentaries on or read about, I leave myself going, hey, it's possible. You know, and it's not so far-fetched that we need to call them something like cryptid. I think with Bigfoot, for instance, I'm a firm believer that it could be very possible that Bigfoot exists, and, you know, we've just given him this crazy name because we haven't actually found the bones yet to go in and call it one of those big, long names that scientists like to call them, you know what I mean? There was, interestingly enough, I was watching a documentary not too long ago on Bigfoots, and I can't remember the name of it, but there was at one point in our world's history, the Earth's history, a being, not a being, a an animal, I guess is what you'd call it, that resembled what we see as Bigfoot nowadays, you know, and according to what they say, it's extinct. And I can't remember what they called that thing. It's a big, long scientific word. But it, if you see it, the thing stands 6 foot eight, 7 feet tall. It's huge. It looks kind of like a giant standing ape, kind of a cross between a orangutan and a gorilla face. You see, you heard, seen what I'm talking about? There's pictures of it.
Gigantopithecus.
Thank you very much. That's it. Yes. And so, I mean, is it possible that they didn't go extinct? Is it possible that maybe they still exist and they're still around? They live in little caves.
You know it's like the dire wolf. They swear the dire wolf is extinct. And in case you don't know what the dire wolf is, imagine a gray wolf only about 4 to 5 times larger. You know,
it's a big dog.
But they're finding pictures and video from like trail camps and stuff of super large wolf-like canines. I got the perfect example for you. I've got the perfect example for you. The coelacanth.
What?
It is the coelacanth. It is a deep sea fish that had been believed to have been extinct for millions of years until the 1930s when one was pulled up in a fishing net. And since then, they have been able to find several of them still alive, still thriving.
I mean, there you go. I mean, see, some things that we consider paranormal at this point in our reality, in our time period, in the future, we may look back on and go, wow, we were idiots. It was so simple. The answer was right there. We just didn't have it yet. You know, I mean, we experienced that over and over again over our history. Mistakes that were made. People thought this was done and gone and over with. Comes back. I mean, let's even look at the whole situation with bell bottoms. We thought those were gone, right? Now people are. We thought there's no way.
Hip boogers. Bell bottoms and hip boogers.
Right. I mean, another example is. Is especially here in the River Valley, we see it a lot. We all thought that the whole mullet was gone. Nope.
I was getting ready to say something. I actually saw here a while back where somewhere here in the States, they're having a mullet contest to see who has the best mullet.
I seen something on
right
there.
Now,
they had an 8-year-old boy won the contest for the.
Yeah.
Something or other.
It was an 8-year-old boy that won the contest. And I didn't catch how much the prize amount was, but he said he was going to take all of his prize money and donate it to charity.
Well, good for you. Good kid. That's a good kid.
Yep.
I mean, so his mom and dad made him grow a mullet, and then they also made him take all of his money and give it to somebody else. That's great. Good parenting. I'm just kidding. All right. Don't go lighting up the phone lines. I'm just joking. That's really nice. Really nice, that kid. But anyway, how do we even get on bullet there? How do we get there?
How do we get on anything on this show?
It was me. My bad. I'm sorry.
I was going to tell you a while ago, Dave. Welcome to the Arkansas Paranormal Network, where none of our shows ever go according to plan.
Always go to a different direction.
You know, I did a radio show in Dallas-Fort Worth. I'm not going to give you the name of it, but I was a shock jock in Dallas-Fort Worth. And all of our shows were based on nothing. We came in with gobs of paperwork on stories and news things that we wanted to do, you know, to joke around about. And, yeah, like what you got over there, Wayne, a folder full of stuff. And we would always find ourselves getting on one subject or two subjects. Sometimes we'd go through 8 or 9 things in a 4-hour period and find out that only 3 pages of that stuff is what we actually talked about.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like I saw a documentary show the other night on Discovery Plus. I believe it was called Hunt for the Skinwalker.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about
Skinwalker
Ranch.
Another cryptid. There's
and,
a lot of
you know,
activity going on out there, from what I hear.
Well, you know, I had always heard stories about the UFO sightings and the cryptid sightings out there.
Yeah, they got
but
both.
Watching that show and listening to what George Knapp has uncovered on or during his 20-plus year investigation of the property, there's a heck of a lot more going on out there than what I ever thought. And, you know, there's got to be some kind of solid truth to it. Because for several years, the DOD even had teams out there investigating to try and figure out what the heck was going on.
Dave, you got a guest over there?
I'm sorry if you keep hearing me whisper the things. I've got Bo.
What's up, Bo?
He came over here to tell me if he wanted me to pet him, and I put my hand back down after petting him for a minute, and he just about freaked out. He said, like, "You ain't done." Lifting his hand, just shaking him around like, "Get your hand back on. Get over here and pet me. You ain't done."
Well, it's all like right, last night, I'm sitting there, he come in the shop, and he made his rounds to everybody. He skipped past me. Then after he'd made his rounds, he'd come back over to me and just sit there looking at me. And I looked at him, I said, "What?"
Yeah,
and he
like kind
of
dog on Frazier.
Don't you like hate the dog just stare at you like?
Yeah.
He's like,
"Well,
what are you staring at?"
He just kind of sat there when I said, "What?" He kind of jumped and started doing a little dance. And I was like, "Well, come on." And I patted my chest and boom, right up he came. He got up there. I got my arms wrapped around him and he just chilled out.
Yeah. Now we got on the dog thing. See, now we get the dog and the cat thing going.
All right. I know, right?
You know.
I got two little dogs at home. I got two miniature pinchers at home. Just
you ever notice that your dogs are somewhere, just stare off in space and watch it go by?
Mm-hmm. Ain't got nothing better to do.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what.
Oh, they're actually watching something.
Our old cat, L.A., Rod, you've met L.A.
Yep.
She, I don't know.
Oh, you're
what she would be playing with. But she would go ripping, running through the apartment, chasing something, and she was always looking up. She wasn't looking down on the floor chasing. She was looking up. And she would chase something through the apartment. She would leap into the air after it and everything. And
there you go. See, that's how we get into our next subject. Why do animals see
things?
How about that for a segue? Good job on that, Richard. Nice work.
Well, why do animals see
things? Why are animals more sensitive to it than we? I want to ask our guest that. Wayne, do you have any ideas on that? Do you have any theories on that? I'm sorry, not Wayne. It's you. My bad. Wayne was staring right at me like a dog. Screw me off. So, Hugh, do you have any theories on that by any chance? Why do you think?
I didn't catch what you were talking about. I was looking up, but there's a show that was done out of Houston, Texas by an indigenous gentleman, Thomas Hughes, who telepathically was in touch with a Bigfoot, a Sasquatch spirit, was his Blog Talk Radio show. I was just looking through the archives, so that might be, I don't know if he's still alive. He did a lot with Kerry Cassidy too, of Project Camelot, but you could just put the blog talk Sasquatch Spirit and you'll see a lot of his shows that might be of interest there. I don't think they're playable. I don't know if he's still alive, but it was, he had a lot of interesting shows. But I didn't catch what you were talking about.
Why do you Nobody else think did either. That, why do you think that animals or our pets, like dogs and cats, are more attuned or more able to see what we don't see?
Like ghosts, entities, spirits?
Yeah, they all, there's different senses that they have. And that's why, too, women have been suppressed, because they're the birth givers and they have extra senses and they're more of a peaceful nature than man, that if he gets into an argument, he's going to win it by killing you eventually. But no, there's sort of like guides for us too. I mean, there's a lot that goes into animal totems and things. And I say nature is God's classroom. That's what people really should be doing, is putting down the devices. And there's an old Indian thing, it's called earthing, and there's even a website that sells products related to that. But just going barefoot in the grass will help balance your divine masculine, divine feminine energies, and bringing more peace when you come back inside. It'll
go barefoot around here, grass, get thorns.
Yeah, them big old stickers we got out here in the front country.
Right. But even just resonating, I do that as much as I can, just going out and just looking at the miracles all around. Einstein was really accurate when he said that if you're open-minded, there's miracles all over the place, but most people are focused on the negative. That's what the mainstream media likes to sell you all the time.
Very true. I agree with that. I agree with that. It's 100%. I mean, that's an obvious thing. It's not a theory right there. That's
exactly.
It's just straightforward. You know,
but walking around sometimes, when my energies are balanced, where birds used to fly away, I can come within a few feet of them and they won't budge as I walk by.
So I'm going to guess with you saying that you are a relatively light person, correct?
Yes.
Okay, see, now, I walk anywhere in the woods, everything's taken off. I mean, it's like a Bigfoot sighting to animals, I'd imagine. I'm a really big dude, so.
I'm like 325.
But,
I just wanted to say, too, at times when I'm out in nature, I've had the experience where I feel something's watching me, too, and especially I was up with my father on a vacation up in the Yukon Territory and also in different parts of Canada around Banff, and trout fishing way out in the wilderness. We were all by ourselves, but I felt something was watching me.
There's a new show. I think it's on Discovery. I have Discovery Plus. By the way, if you're a big paranormal fan, you love paranormal shows, I'm going to give a plug to Discovery Plus, because I have been doing an amazing amount of binge watching on the Discovery Plus app, and I love it. They have tons of paranormal programming for just very little, no commercials. Anyway, just want to let you know that, because if I was your friend, I'd tell you about it, because I've been having so much fun. Anyway, on my streaming list stations. Anyway, there's a show, and I can't remember the name of it. I think it's called Something in the Woods. Oh, man. I wish I could remember the name of that show, but it talks a lot about cryptids, and it talks a lot about, it does a lot of stories on people who've had actual encounters with Bigfoot-like creatures in the woods. And the reason why I thought about that is because you were talking about feeling something watching you. It seems to be a common denominator in people who have these Bigfoot sightings, from what I've watched and seen and heard about, that they always feel as if they're being watched, almost the same way a paranormal investigator would feel that in a certain paranormally active place.
Mm-hmm.
So that may, who knows, you may have been this close, you, to having some sort of experience with actually seeing something like that.
Oh, I'm sure, and I even have things that happen in my own apartment that then you get into the electricity. I had a VCR, a TV turn, start playing a VCR that I didn't turn it on.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's worth investigating. That's pretty neat. I know what happened.
Well,
with
that's
thing.
Again, I would love, I put it out there because I would love to just go over to Hanover Tavern, which is in Hanover County, New York, where George Washington and Patrick Henry, all the ghosts are there. And they, you know, they do have, it's pretty interesting. You'll see on the Spirituality and Multidimension page on the big website, but just to see how, if anything, is picked up with my energies, because, again, synchronistically, I really feel that I have the heart of what Patrick Henry was saying, give me liberty or give me death. This country's going down the tubes, and as long as I'm alive, I'm going to look to preserve the freedoms that we've enjoyed and really help unite the people in the way they should be united, especially the indigenous, which have so much knowledge on how to heal the pollution and other things. And I don't want to live in a teepee. I like my apartment or whatever, where I can control my environment, but we can't bring the lifestyle back to them. But just through cooperating with each other, we can get rid of all the, I mean, stuff like that has been suppressed, like Nikola Tesla wanted free energy for everyone. That stuff is still being investigated, but in years past, anybody that had something like that, they take the people out or stop them, so that we can't.
That's true, and we've seen that time and time again. You know, I don't want to get on too much politics here on a paranormal show, but I do want to touch on that for a minute, because I think some of the stuff that Tesla was doing back early in the days could have led to a lot more knowledge that we have nowadays for even more instruments that we could use as investigators to research the paranormal. I know that sounds crazy, but things tend to link together, and technology is one of the biggest things we as investigators use to explore the paranormal world. And one of the things that I'm thinking about back, remember the electric car? Remember the very first one? It was called some funny name. What was the name of that thing? So, little bitty thing. They put it out.
You would say that, because I actually watched a video about that here just recently, and I can't remember it.
I mean, it was all about the money.
But, yeah.
Smart.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know if
this is back in the 80s.
I was going to say, let me interrupt you real quick. Don't mean to be rude. I don't know if Wayne has noticed it, but we are down to 2 minutes left in the show.
We're running on low, man. We got a minute and 49 minutes.
Man. I feel like I'm calling from the jail and got some lady going, you have 2 minutes.
Yeah, you only got 2 minutes. Well, this is where I'm going to start the end of the show. And I want to thank you for calling in and joining us.
All right, thank you so much for the time. And again, I don't have all the answers, but I have common sense solutions. If we want to go there, we can. That's a choice.
Yes. And like I said, I want to thank you for calling in, and maybe you can call in and keep listening to us. Call us when we get another show like this going.
Okay.
But anyway, we want to thank everybody that's been joining us, and this is kind of a new thing for us. We got Dave joining us, Richard, and I just want to thank everybody that's joining us and listening to us, support us, and we'll have more shows like this in the future. So I want to thank everybody. This is Tapping, the Arkansas Paranormal Network, coming to you from Van Buren and Fort Smith. I want to thank everybody, and see you next time.